We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
3 o'clock hour. A little studio.
Studio.
The Marley Brothers are coming to FPL Solar Amphitheater at Bayfront Park. Their legacy tour hits Miami in October. We've got a chance for you to win tickets. Go to WQAM.com. Click on contests. You can enter right there. It's a Live Nation show. We have a lot to get to before 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a lot to get to tomorrow, and then the playoffs will be upon us. This was a play-in, but this coming weekend, it's the playoffs. You get the Panthers, maybe the Heat. By the way, if the Heat do win tomorrow, their game one will be the exact same time as the Panthers' game one on Sunday.
Man, I'm very, very much looking forward to that.
It is so ridiculous. Like two Sunday 1 o'clocks? Like what? Wait, what?
We've been saying it. Bettman and Silver should sit down sometime and speak and be friends.
Dale.
I bless. Dale.
Dale.
Ah, 305. Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. And Crowder, hope you kept that receipt from your dentist visit, big dog.
Oh, y'all want to get slick mouth that I won't be at the station, huh?
Isn't that funny that we've been all over Solana and his gums and Dr. Brad for so long, and your tooth popped out in the 2 o'clock hour?
I got to come and... and let y'all know, Jimmy, you know I'll punch you in your stomach.
It really is amazing the amount of heat I get for being old and being on the UM polo team in 1951. But your teeth are flying out. Solana's gums are bleeding at a loss. Both of you have had multiple knee surgeries. In the meantime, I'm just sitting here living my life, playing a little polo, having the time of my life.
Hey, Hawk, how was the Civil War?
Yeah, keep laughing, Doodless and Gumless. Never saw two guys so heated over their knee surgeries. It was like listening to two Altacockers at 2J's talk about their prostate exams.
No, but Hawk, seriously, what'd you do when the Great Depression rolled around? There was no more Rick Ribs.
Yeah, but I had my teeth and my gums. So everything was fine. I was able to eat anything they put in front of me. Oh. Solana's all excited for the Panthers game on Sunday afternoon. He's going to mash up some bananas. Have a watch party. Crowder's shopping for extra straws.
I got to eat soup now. I can't bite anything. The teeth are falling out.
Josh Appel is going to join us. I do want to talk some Panthers hockey with him. Let's get headlines. Start out the 3 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana.
They're driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford. We know trucks. Jimmy Butler is scheduled to have an MRI on his right knee in this hour. That's the update as of right now. There were reports that he'll be out indefinitely, that he could be out, you know, for several weeks. There was a report from Adrian Wojnarowski, Shams Charania last night that the Heat fear he had sustained a major MCL injury. But again, 3:30 p.m., he's having an MRI, and then we'll know hopefully shortly after that what the extent of the injury is.
Heat are 1.5-point favorites tomorrow night over the Bulls, by the way. And...
No matter what happened with Jimmy?
Well, I think that's assuming Jimmy's not going to be there.
Yeah.
My guess is if Jimmy is definitely ruled out, you're going to see the Bulls favored tomorrow night, which, by the way, or maybe pick them. I still don't think that it's the hardest task to beat the Bulls at home, even if you're down Jimmy Butler. My fear is just watching Jimmy yesterday and then watching him try to walk out of the arena there in Philly. My fear is Boston without Jimmy Butler. And I don't see how he could be back. And just based on the way that his knee and the way that we talked about it in the first hour, like, I assuming that it's so swollen, like, I don't see how he would be ready to play in the series against Boston, unless maybe it went seven. But how the hell is it going to go seven if you don't have Jimmy Butler at the beginning of the series? So I think this is a really bad case scenario for the Heat.
Earlier in the show, you said Tyler has to outplay Kobe White. Bam has to outplay Vucevic. Who's outplaying DeMar DeRozan? Who's outplaying these other guys? Like, I am not looking towards Boston. I'm concerned with the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls were a tertiary playoff team throughout the entire season. They just it never, like, they have decent names and but it never really materialized for them. I think we all kind of knew that Atlanta was going to get mollywopped last night. I probably should have jumped all over that. It's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But I just don't think the Bulls are. I don't think the Bulls are very good.
They ended the season.
I don't think it's the hardest task in the world to beat them.
Yeah, they ended the season four games below 500. So for all the talk about the Miami Heat being the eighth seed and, oh, they missed all these games, all these opportunities that they should have won, like, with all that being said, yes, those are accurate. The Bulls ended four games below 500 on the regular season. Like, they're not a good quality team. Do they have guys who can have impactful performances? Sure. You saw it last night. Kobe White went off for 42 points. But I'm with you, Hawk. Like, if the Heat don't have Jimmy Butler tomorrow, but Tyler and Bam and hopefully Terry Rozier and hopefully Duncan Robinson can go, I do think the Heat have enough to win that game.
Yeah, I think the Heat, low-powered, are better than a Bulls team. They just are. I don't think the Heat were really a play-in caliber team. We talked about it yesterday. Kind of thought Philly was really a two seed. Yeah. And I think the Heat probably were a four seed if you really want to go based on talent and, you know, you take out the injuries and missed games. The Bulls, they were a 10, a 9, an 8 at best. Like, so I don't, you know, again, can DeMar DeRozan put up 55 points and send the Heat packing? Sure. If you can't keep up with them scoring wise, then yeah, you'll have problems. But it just, tomorrow night does not scare me. It's the notion of playing Boston, even with Jimmy, that's scary. Then take Jimmy out of the equation and you go, ooh, what do you have in store there?
I'm not overlooking the Bulls, fellas. I think I'm on the opposite side of this with y'all. I'm not overlooking the Bulls.
They released their injury report, the Chicago Bulls, by the way, for tomorrow's game. And Alex Caruso, as Clay discussed, is questionable for the game. He left yesterday pretty banged up in that game. Dosunmu is questionable. Andre Drummond is questionable as well. We know, like, Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine are out for the season. Patrick Williams III out for the season as well. So outside of Caruso, Drummond, and Dosunmu, they should be pretty healthy with Kobe White and DeMar DeRozan, your boy DeMar DeRozan, tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm worried about Dosunmu.
I'm ready to have the conversation about DeRozan and Jimmy again if you want, the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
DeRozan's a monster.
Did we see Trae Young's final game in Atlanta yesterday? Final game for Atlanta, I should say.
We should have.
I don't think so. I don't think they move on from Trae Young.
Why not?
They stink.
They're terrible. He's not a one. He's not the guy that's going to be that dude for you to take you anywhere. We watched it for years and years.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. I don't think he's a one, but he would be a pretty solid two or three if they built a suitable roster around him. Like, they kind of put all their chips into DeAndre Hunter, who was a top draft pick, Clint Capella, and they went all in on DeJounte Murray, that 1-2 punch at guard. Man, like, that just has not worked this season. They have a better net rating when Trae Young's on the floor, DeJounte Murray's off. Same thing, better net rating when DeJounte Murray's on the floor and Trae Young's off than they do when those two guys are out there together. Like, that experiment just didn't work. I don't think you get rid of a star caliber player, though, when he's your only one.
They should get Jontay Porter, make him bet his overs.
Get no minutes from him. There's going to be a lot of talk about the Heat and the Heat moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, that gave you a little appetizer there with the Hawks. I was just kind of testing the room because there is going to be a lot of conversation about the Heat.
Is, man, we've been to finals, but we haven't won any. And Jimmy's getting older. Is Jimmy that guy?
I think there will be outrage, and we're putting the cart in front of the horse here, because the Heat can win tomorrow and they can sweep the Celtics. Nothing the Heat does surprises me. But let's say that doesn't happen. And Pat Riley, whether it's his choice or he's forced to run it back, there's going to be outrage. But I don't know who's going to be available. They were talking about this last night on ESPN. It's like sometimes you go into an offseason and you kind of know this guy's unhappy. This guy's moving on from that team. Like, we don't know who's going to be out there. So there's going to be a lot of conversation about this team.
Can we sign Nicholas Batum? Now, I don't think you can. You know, if this experiment doesn't go well.
What if you're forced to?
No, I don't think you would be in a situation where you're forced to, Hawk. I get you. You don't want to get fleeced. But I don't see how next season you could come back with essentially the same team. Now, Caleb Martin is going to be a free agent.
The core, this though. Summer. The core.
Right.
Jimmy, Bam, Tyler. Yeah. That core. Running back?
Yeah.
No.
I don't see how you can.
No.
So who are you moving on from?
And that's the thing. It's almost a Tua conversation where now I'm on the other side of this argument where get rid of Tua, but who are you going to bring in a quarterback? I just don't see Tyler, Jimmy, and Bam beating Porzingis, Brown, and Tatum.
I love Kristaps Porzingis.
But I'm just saying, like, I did the big threes that we see around this league, the Murray and
Jokic. No, I get it. I'm just saying, who do you move on from? Because the last few seasons, it's kind of like, oh, it's Tyler. Tyler, you move on from. And I'm not certain that that's the right answer.
I would keep Bam at all costs. The other two, it is what it is.
We discussed this, right? The idea of trading Jimmy Butler. Like, hey, the five seasons was great. Unbelievable run. He's forever a Heat legend. But should you kind of cut bait at this point and say, hey, it just hasn't worked out. I told you guys a month ago when we talked about it, I don't see that situation at all. I think Pat Riley wants to put a team around Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. But to go back to the conversations we had at the beginning of the season, and you guys were right. Every other team in the Eastern Conference got better. Every single team in the East got better. You can even look, aside from the Celtics and the Bucks, right? Look at the Pacers. They went out and they traded for Pascal Siakam. They've been a lot better. The Knicks went and they got rid of Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, and they got better as well. So with OG Anunoby. So like every team in the East significantly improved their roster, and the Miami Heat did not. Whether or not that's the Heat's fault, that's a debate, right? Because they felt like they had Damian Lillard. They pushed all their pieces into acquiring Dame. He wanted to be here,
and
they got
didn't
screwed.
Do anything wrong, by
right,
the way.
That was
out of their control.
Right.
They got worse because Strus left. He's in Cleveland balling. And Gabe Vincent left. He's
don't
in
forget
LA.
Triple J, though. That, he's a great addition. They did it through the draft.
Crowder had the Heat, no joke. I don't like that. The idea, oh, hey, they messed up not re-signing Strus. They messed up not re-signing Gabe Vincent. You think this season, the difference between being where you are right now and the difference between you being a top four seed is Max Strus and Gabe Vincent? And by the way, handicapping yourself moving forward cap-wise, being in that second apron to pay Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. Like, I'm not saying that they weren't quality players and that the Heat can't use them right now. Clearly they could have, but to go all in on bringing back Max Strus and Gabe Vincent when you filled their roles pretty well, I don't understand going back to that, the Max Strus and Gabe Vincent.
I remember Max Strus in the second play-in game dropping 30. Who's filled in that's going to drop 30?
But then in the NBA Finals, he went two games with 0 points. And like, those guys don't win you NBA titles. You know who does win you an NBA title?
Andrew Van Ginkel.
Nicholas Batum. Stars.
I think we're going to have this conversation with the Dolphins and Andrew Van Ginkel because he was affordable to re-sign. I think we're going to have this same conversation at the end of the Dolphins season.
If we're in game six and we're worried about Van Ginkel, the season has gone down the drain.
That's exactly my fear. All right, let's get the rest of the headlines. What else you got, Solana?
By the way, Pelicans Kings do play tomorrow as well after the Miami Heat. Heat will be at 7. Pelicans Kings will be at 9:30. No Zion.
Is there anything tonight? Got to be games tonight, right?
In the NBA? No. I don't believe. Yeah. No, because there's only two games until the playoffs start. It's Heat Bulls tonight and Kings Pelicans tomorrow. Last two play-in tournament games are tomorrow.
Both tomorrow. You said Heat Bulls tonight, but tomorrow.
Tomorrow, excuse me. Yes. Yep. First playoff game is Saturday, 1 p.m., Magic at the Cavaliers.
Why are there still NHL games tonight?
Didn't I tell you on Tuesday? Yeah. Like, what's the NHL doing where...
Yeah, what are we doing here? This NHL is not going to last. They don't know what they're doing.
What's not going to last?
The NHL, I say.
It's on the ropes, huh? It's the XFL. You never know.
Oh, my God. I saw a promo for a UFL football game. I said to myself, who is watching this? Like, they tried to make it seem like it was exciting, and it's like they're showing clips from previous games. Who on earth is watching the UFL?
I tried. I swear I tried. Like last weekend or something, I'm sitting at home. Me and my son tried to watch a game.
Can't do it.
It's just, and it's my argument against these expansion leagues. Once you watch the NFL in college and you see high level of football, you don't want to go and watch Pop Warner anymore.
I tried to watch it on an airplane. Like, I was a captive audience, and I turned it off.
And they have the mic on the quarterback, and the quarterback couldn't even call the play. He was like, hey, double post. No, never mind, double flare. I'm like, never mind. You don't say never mind in the huddle. I couldn't do it.
Never mind.
I swear. He said, never mind. I said, yep, y'all, this is not a well-executed play. I guarantee it.
So the Panthers, game one versus Tampa Bay on Sunday, 12:30 or 1 p.m. I don't know. One or the other. We'll find
one or
out.
The other.
We'll find out tomorrow for sure. The Marlins begin a four-game series versus the Cubbies tonight. That's at 7:40 p.m. A.J. Puck gets the nod for the Fish.
All right.
We discussed it in the last segment, but the Cavender Twins will both be returning to the University of Miami women's basketball team.
I'm excited. Katie Meyer did tweet out, because I think Hannah tweeted yesterday. I got to find the tweet. I think Hannah tweeted that she was coming back. And then Katie tweeted something like, you know, massive. It says, Kane's Insight tweeted out, Coach Trisha Cullup's first big recruiting win at Miami. And it's a big one. And it was Hannah Cavender. And Katie Meyer retweeted that and wrote massive. So she's trying to pretend like there's no feud, but we know
there's
the truth.
No feud. Big time. They got back LeVar Ball. 2-2-1.
There was a bit of news regarding Caitlin Clark yesterday. She's nearing a lucrative 8-figure deal with Nike.
Yeah.
And she is set to receive her own Nike signature shoe as well.
I wear the Clarks.
Me too.
He's going to sell so many shoes because I think not just guys, but women, I think are going to support that brand. I think it is genius. It's probably, it has to be a multi-million dollar endeavor for Nike. I know she's getting 10 figures, but I have a feeling that's going to be a wild success.
Solana, don't you have a female shoe?
Yeah. The Sabrina Ionescu's, which, by the way, like a ton of NBA players wear on the court. And that's what Caitlin Clark was wearing in the Final Four as well.
Hmm.
The Ionescu's are nice, man.
You can't laugh. Your tooth fell out in the first hour today.
I'm gonna get the Clarks. I'm not getting the Ionescu's.
What's wrong with the Sabrina Ionescu's, bro? Women's basketball player with Nike to get her own signature shoe line, and they happen
Say
to be
you want to yourself.
They happen to be fire, all of them. What I play pickleball in. Your weather.
You can't laugh. Your tooth flew out of your mouth in the first hour of today's
I put it
show.
Back in. I can laugh, Hawk. Put it back in.
It's Look one thing if you're playing hockey, somebody knocks your teeth out and you're, you know, on the bench and you're trying to put it back in your mouth. That's tough. You were talking about the Cavender twins and your tooth flew out of your mouth like Zion's shoe.
Because I go hard. I go hard on radio. So you radio casual. I go hard.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Partly cloudy tonight. The lows will be in the mid to upper 70s, low 70s, in the 70s. That's your weather.
you've narrowed it down.
Covered all my bases.
Josh Appel is going to join us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I got a twerk game.
What?
I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it.
Hawk and Crowder.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is the public address announcer for the Miami Marlins at Lone Depot Park. Marlins having a rough go of it, but he'd had a rough one last night. But Appel, as anyone who listens to this show knows, is a huge Panthers fan. Mm-hmm. Has been a Panthers fan since the inception and is frothing at the mouth.
But I also feel like I'm objective when I talk about them, too.
I think you're very objective. I think you're objective when you talk about all sports, for the most part. Panthers open the playoffs Sunday, Amerant Bank Arena, and they host the Lightning. So here was the thing, and we can talk Heat if we want or Marlins, but I really did want to give the Panthers some play today because the round one is upon us. I kind of was rooting for them to play Toronto. I've had PTSD over Tampa and Vasilevsky, and I was kind of rooting for Toronto. And now I'm not as scared as I once was. So you tell me, who do they match up better against? Because Plagans and who was George Richards, I think, arena this week, they told us they match up better against Tampa.
I think that's true. I do agree with that. But as is probably everybody else's concern, the big difference in goal. Like, Andrei Vasilevsky is the great equalizer, and he could very easily steal this series for a team in the Lightning that defensively is not very deep. One of their top two defensemen, Mikhail Sergachev, still out. Not sure if he's going to be back for this series or not. So they're really thin defensively. They are very thin when it comes to forward depth. Obviously, they've got Nikita Kucherov, who just got his 100th assist of the season last night. And he's phenomenal, a candidate for the Hart Trophy this year. Stamkos has been great. Braden Point's been great. It's a great power play. But the Panthers, top to bottom, are better than Tampa Bay. They, I would say, dominated them in the season series this year. I know they lost to them in the final meeting, but if you watch that game, there was at one point in the third period where the Panthers were out shooting Tampa Bay like 50-16. And Andre Vasilevsky stole that game for Tampa. And that is my biggest concern. I just wanted to roll the dice against the two goaltenders in Toronto as opposed to Vasilevsky. But here's the thing. I also want to exercise this demon. Like, the Panthers have lost the last two times they played to Tampa Bay in the playoffs. They got swept the last time they played Tampa Bay in the playoffs, the year they won the President's Trophy, and blew everything up and made Chris Whittingham hate the Panthers. So I relish the opportunity to play Tampa, but goaltending was the reason I would have rather faced Toronto. But I think they're better than both teams, and I think I agree with George and Doug. They match up better with the Lightning.
Yeah, that PSD gets me sometimes, too.
we all made eye contact. We were trying to hold it together.
What did I say?
You said PSD.
That PSD.
Oh, instead of PTSD? Yeah. No. Yeah, your tooth blew out the 2 o'clock hour, Crowder.
Yeah.
What?
I was arguing and one of my veneers flew out. About the Cavender twins, I don't know. It's just, I like to argue. Just
lost it. I didn't even notice it. I wasn't watching the video monitor. I wasn't watching it just then. But Solana's like, did your tooth just fly out of your mouth?
I didn't even know it was possible.
I didn't know either till today. And I popped it back in. It's crazy.
My get out of jail free card. It doesn't matter what goes on this show. I just have to say, your tooth flew out of your mouth while you're talking.
I have to come up with a better comeback because I don't have one right now. Give me a couple hours. But you're big, and it's the Paul Ball thing. Like, talking about, you know, the style of play, Paul Ball, Paul Maurice. Were they, like, they had that stretch later in the season where we were all concerned. And then when I watched the Leaf games the other day, they just whooped the hell out of the Maple Leafs. Like, it was embarrassing. Was it 5-2 or something like that? Like, was it a little lull in there? Because it seemed like they made the playoffs, and then they really didn't play the way we watched them play. And then that last game is like, okay, it's playoff time. We're going to whoop some ass. Like, was it that lull, kind of the comfortable space of we're in the playoffs?
I think there was a certain degree of that. I think that it also coincided with a couple of injuries. Like, Aaron Ekblad went out again, and they had a few guys in and out of the lineup because they were sick. Like, here's the thing. There's Crowder, you know, this is a former athlete. Like, when you clinch the playoffs, even if you're still, like, playing for the division, which they eventually won against Boston, who may have been tanking the last couple games. I'm on to them, by the way. That was some...
We declared it on this show, tanking.
That was absolutely tanking the last two games to play Toronto. Anyways, there was a lull. They weren't playing as well as we had seen them in previous times this season. But Paul, the great coach that he is, phenomenal with the media, comes out and he says, guys, relax. We'll be fine. There's certainly a change in mindset when you know for sure that you're going to be in, especially after what they went through last year to get into the playoffs at the end and keep that energy level and that style and that intensity up for – basically January through June. They were 6 months of that style and playing it really well and as good as anybody. And they survived the first, however long it was, month and a half without Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour. They stay above water there. Bobrovsky is having his best season as a Panther, should get Vezina trophy votes. And yeah, over the course of 82 games, teams kind of go through lulls. This coincided with a couple of different factors. And look, the last 10 games of the year, they went 6-3-1, and they played well down the stretch, and I'm as confident in this team as any that I've ever followed or rooted for that they can turn it on. It almost reminds me of the Wade, LeBron, Bosch, Big Three Heat, the years they won the title. Like, when they wanted to turn it on, like, they turned it on, and I think that this Panther team is the same in that regard.
The only thing I would ask, though, is there a way to neutralize if Andre Vasilevsky is a brick wall? Is there anything like is there anything you can do about that?
Well, like, I mean,
like,
if he's stopping everything you're throwing at him, like, no, you can't.
Right. That, 'cause you talk about, you know, I'd rather roll my dice with Toronto. I'm not scared of any team because of Paul Maurice, because of what he said and what you're saying there, which is this team is unbelievably talented and other teams should be scared of the Panthers. Panthers shouldn't be scared of the Lightning or the Maple Leafs or the Bruins or the Hurricanes. But man, if Vasilevsky does what he does consistently to the Panthers, there's just nothing you can do, right? That's it. You just have to sit there and take it.
Yeah, and I would say that that happened last year to a lot of teams that played the Panthers, like Carolina,
right?
Ran into Bob. Toronto ran into Bob. I mean, they played what, 9 games over that stretch, and they went 8-1 because of Bob. And that, unfortunately, things kind of fell apart once the final started. But that always happens in the playoffs in the NHL. There's always teams that get hot because the goalie plays well. And because of the high-end talent that Tampa has and because of who they have in goal, they are perfectly capable of being that team this year. Like, it would not surprise me. But I still think that, like, Bob can also outplay Vasilevsky too. Like, you just hope that Bob doesn't revert back to, you know, playoff Bob that we've seen in previous stops in his career. But look, I think this is perfect for the Panthers to finally get over that hump, because, you know, like we said earlier, they lost 2 times in the playoffs to Tampa Bay. Every time they had run into them, that's like always the game they get up for. So I think this is good for the state of Florida. It's good for hockey. It's good for the Panthers.
Why don't they put their booty in his face? I see people do that to goalies. Is Vasilevsky, you can't put your booty in his face?
Oh, I would imagine Kachuk's booty will be in Vasilevsky's face quite a bit.
Good question.
Yeah, very good.
I seen him. They get in his way and he can't see. I say Vasilevsky.
That is the way to neutralize, right? You just kind of
get in front of him. Get in the crease. And
you put Stanley Panther down there. You get everything.
Victory rat.
Victory rat.
Put some booties in his face.
Hey, Appel, outside of the goaltending, we know that's imperative. Who has to be the best player for the Panthers? Because last year, it was Matthew Tkachuk. It felt like he carried you through a lot of games where maybe you weren't playing well, but he came up with the brilliant moments. I wonder, is it Tkachuk again, or is it Reinhardt? Like, does he just have to score a ton of goals like he did in the regular season in critical moments?
I still think Tkachuk is their X factor. I know Barkov caught a lot of heat last year for whatever reason because the production wasn't there. But in the playoffs, Barkov's always going to go up against the other team's top lines. And he's as good as – he's going to win the Selke Trophy this year, which goes to the best defensive forward in hockey. He's going to win it again this year. I think it's Tkachuk. As Tkachuk goes, this team goes. It makes the lineup deeper. I think it's got to be 19 again. He's got to
not necessarily
them.
Scoring though.
No, because he's a facilitator. Like,
right.
He's a facilitator. And the Panthers. I will say this: I am a little concerned about the power play because the power play did not finish the season clicking. And one of the things that they were so successful at, you know, Sam Reinhart led the NHL in power play goals, but didn't have one, I think, for the last 10 games, something along those lines. And it's because teams had kind of, quote unquote, figured out, like, Tkachuk below the goal line, feeding Reinhardt in the slot right in front of the goalie, and that was their bread and butter the whole season, and it was working. Now they haven't been able to really get into that area much. We'll see how they can adjust. I mean, the power play goes as Tkachuk goes. The team goes, I think, as Tkachuk goes. So
who's the team that scares you most in the East?
Carolina.
That's why we were looking yesterday at the odds. Carolina is the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think that the Jake Guentzel acquisition they made from Pittsburgh at the trade deadline just makes that team on another level. They were already fantastic defensively. There are some question marks in goal there. It's been a little inconsistent this year. They don't really have a guy. Freddie Anderson missed a lot of the season. I believe he's back now, but they are as good as anybody in the league defensively, and now they have another high-end scoring forward in Jake Guentzel. I don't think that if they matched up in the playoffs again this year, it would go the same way as it did a year ago.
And we talked to George Richard and Plagans, and they were talking about the goalie tandem of Stolarz and Bob might be the best in the playoffs right now. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, Stolarz, what a find that was by Bill Zito by the way. Another W for Will Wido, as I like to call him. Because you replace the first letter of both his names with W for win.
Ah, like Will Wido. Like a win.
Yeah, like a W, like a win. So Stolarz, there was a lot of uncertainty about what Spencer Knight's situation would be. Spencer Knight spent the entire season playing a full year as a starter with the Charlotte AHL team, and he was solid, especially the back half of the year. And there was a question mark about what the Panthers would do with their backup goaltending situation. And bringing in Anthony Stolarz, I mean, the guy's goals against average is right around 2. They have just as much of a shot with him winning games when he started, or with them winning games when he's in goal, as they do with Bob. I mean, you want to talk about stealing games. Like, that's not an easy spot for a backup goaltender, because you're playing a lot of back-to-backs where the team's not 100% in front of you because they just played the night before, and they relied on him quite a bit this year. And it helped Bob, too, because he didn't have to play as many games. Stolarz, an incredible find, that if he has to play in the playoffs, I have full confidence in that guy, and I think the entire team does, too.
Let's not hope the game start at 12:30 or 1. We can't figure it out.
I'm going to say it'll start at like 12:39.
Because everybody seems to be saying 1, but then the official release from the league says 12:30, and we're kind of stumped.
Well, who says 1?
I think it was Barry Jackson and Mike Cugno.
Baz, I trust. Cugno, I don't know.
Not so much.
Yeah.
What are you doing Saturday between 11 and 3?
What am I doing Saturday between 11 and 3? I don't think I'm doing anything between Saturday and 11 and 3.
Well, perhaps you'd like to see Crowder Powder in action.
Whoa!
At Delaware Chicken Farm.
Whoa!
It's Crowder Powder Day at Delaware Chicken Farm. Crowder's going to be cooking up some, what do you got, like some meats or something?
Yeah, some meats.
All right. And
how the coal's going to be?
You're going to put the Crowder Powder on it?
My coal's about to be hot, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, we put the Crowder Powder chicken. I really don't know. I'm going to just walk around Delaware and grab meat and pour Crowder Powder on it and put it on the grill.
Are you going?
I'm going. Lori and I are going. Joe Zagacki and his wife are going. And wow. I was curious if you and Mara wanted to go.
Well, Mara's out of town, but which opens up my schedule a bit.
Tell you what.
When the cat's away,
nice
the mice will
women
play.
Is Delaware Chicken Farm. If you're living the bachelor life for a weekend.
If he can recover from Friday night, he can make it. He's out.
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you.
Crowder, are you going to be able to eat, do you think, with the faulty tooth?
Listen, this is a whole new conundrum that I just fell into.
What are you gonna? You gonna powder up like a smoothie or something? What are you gonna do there?
I called my dentist and said, "Hey, my tooth flew out on air. What do I do?" I'm waiting for a response.
Well, if you'd like to join us Saturday, 11 to 3, Delaware Chicken Farm, a little Crowder Powder display.
Listen, I need. I'm tired of the bag of Crowder Powder that I have. Like the beta testing.
Oh, you don't
testing.
Have the actual.
I don't
vessel?
Have the actual. No. What is that? What it's called? A vessel.
I call it a vessel.
He calls it a vessel.
Vessel. I thought you said vessel. I was like,
it's a bottle. It's a bottle.
Is it a bottle?
Just a bottle. A bottle of seasoning.
I don't think you have a bottle of seasoning. You have a vessel of seasoning.
That's never been said before.
Well, agree to disagree.
Hey, Josh, I know a guy. I got you.
All right. Well, tell your guy I need one.
Well, when he says, I got you, it's 852.
Ain't no free rides around here, Josh.
No, sir. Someone's got to pay for those veneers.
Especially now.
See you, Josh. We got to go.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Josh Appel, your Marlins public address announcer. There is a big event Saturday, Delaware Chicken Farm, with Crowder and Crowder Powder will be fun. I'm going to be there. The Zagackis will be there. Maybe Josh will be there as well.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Come in!
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.